Hello and welcome to Loot News. Today we've got a really special guest here. If you've all listened to Unhinged Guests, we have a brother from another mother. We got Chris with us, but you'll be hearing him go by the name of Tank. That's what I've known him for. Like, how long has it been, Tank? Like 13 years, 14 years?
Yeah, something like that.
We got a doozy for you. A little bit of an episode 9 coming your way now. Title of it is He's On. Is that what it was? Is that what it was? He's On? It wasn't He's On.
He's On.
Is it He's On? I'm On. Okay.
Something like that.
We got some stuff here to talk about. And the reason why we call this He's On is because I've been falling asleep here lately. You know, a couple of the nights.
Every day I try to get on, he goes to sleep. Yep, we know.
It's a hard knock life, man. I don't know. Maybe it's just, I'm like 52 years old.
No, you're like 29.
I know my birthday's coming up here in 3 months.
Yeah.
All right, we got a few different things. Right now, currently boiling down my Super Bowl predictions from last podcast,
still,
the bonus
still
episode.
Still hope, by the way, they just scored. Ravens just scored.
What's the time on it right now?
Like 12 minutes left in the fourth quarter.
What was the score?
28-12, so they can just, if they hold Tennessee twice and they score both times, they should be.
Yo, that could be one of the greatest comebacks. I mean, a lot of comebacks.
It could be, but Derrick Henry is just let's see, I'd say probably over 100 yards rushing.
Oh no, I've seen him before.
Yeah, 173 yards rushing. So that means that they are getting annihilated.
I seen him before. Put the kids to sleep, man. He's a beast, an absolute beast.
I still think it's going to be Chiefs and Seahawks.
You know, I was going to disagree, but it's looking, I don't know about totally, but I know my prediction's half right so far, but it looks like it might go away in the divisions. But a little football.
What is that, the AFC? Yeah, AFC Championship would be next weekend.
Yeah, AFC and NFC, and then I think we wait 2 weeks or something like that. It's like, what is it, February 2nd or something like that?
I'll give you a thing here. A ticket for upper level seats in the AFC Conference Championship is $400 just for upper level seats.
Good God, like a nosebleeder?
So if you sit in the club level, it's $1,700. And if you sit at the 50-yard line, it's about the same. I don't know why it's the same price, but. And then you can set the end zone for $500. So it's like upper level must be the craze or something.
Wow. What was the upper level again?
411 is the most cheapest one.
And compare it to
1500 on the sidelines. You might as well just save another 500 and go to the sideline.
Good night. That's crazy, man. I wonder what Super Bowl tickets are.
Well, let's find out. I'll tell you. Super Bowl tickets are, for one ticket, $4,000. $4,000 for upper-level seats.
Oh, my God. What's the sideline?
Let's see. 50-yard sideline is $10,000.
Are you? Oh my gosh! Oh,
club level seats, you can't even buy them. They're already sold out, apparently.
That's probably for like celebs.
The cheapest I'm seeing is $3,500, and that's for the very, very, very top.
Oh my gosh!
That's like 3 weeks' pay.
That is insane, dude.
Who has that kind of? Well, I guess if you're you work in like stockbroker or something, you could afford it.
That's insane, though. I guess we never really dove into it before.
No, I never really looked.
Oh, that's I remember seeing, you know, I mean, whenever like there was like a UFC fight, like in CBUS.
Oh yeah, speaking of UFC fight, dude, Conor McGregor's fight's next weekend.
Mm. I seen he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Resurrected from the dead. I guess he didn't get in trouble with that one allegation.
Where he punched an old guy.
Oh yeah, when he talked about his beer at his pub. Yeah. I tell you what, I wouldn't want to fight him.
Dude, they got Chase Young. I don't know if your listeners know who Chase Young is. I would assume they would.
Yeah.
But he's the defensive end for Ohio State. Everybody says he's going to go number one overall over the QB for LSU. I don't think so, because quarterbacks usually go better than defensive ends do. But apparently everybody thinks he's going to go number one as a defensive end. That's pretty, like, number one overall pick, too, not just first round. Of course he'll go first round, but to be picked number one overall, that's pretty crazy.
Like, top, D-top.
Yeah, because, you know, like, D-ends and stuff, they get picked in the first round, like, you know, four or five or three.
Yeah.
But no one ever, not that I can recall anyway. I mean, I'm young, but I don't ever recall a defensive end going first round, number one pick overall.
Well, talking about OSU in general, I hate to bring it up, old bones, but that game was garbage.
Yeah.
That game was...
I mean, they should have definitely won, but I think the whole thing that changed the whole ball game was when they was winning like 14-0 in the first quarter. Then it was like it would have been 17 or something to zero in the first, and then that got called back. It wasn't a touchdown, and I think that's what changed the game. All the crappy calls that
I was gonna say, the refs small technical called. Things, like the targeting ordeal on the quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought if anybody got in trouble, it was the guy that tried to rip his head off when he fell down. That's what I thought, but I was not thinking it was. I mean, I hate the targeting call. I mean, sometimes it's blatant. Like the LSU game beforehand. Was it LSU-Oklahoma, wasn't it, beforehand?
Yeah.
Now, that was blatant by the Oklahoma guy. But with that said, this right here, I mean, the quarterback's falling down. This guy's already dove midair. And then the quarterback's slowly descending. Of course, it's going to get the helmet to helmet, you know, if he's far enough back. It's just,
right.
I don't know, man. And then he acts like he's all hurt. And then as soon as our guy gets ejected for targeting, then he's healed and he's running a touchdown in. And the guys, if anybody don't know who's listening, look him up. He's absolutely the ugliest guy I've ever seen. Just put ugly Clemson quarterback and I guarantee you to bring him up on Google.
Yeah, he's got like a weird nose and everything. No offense to the dude, because he's a really good player. He'll probably get
No. He is good. I mean, he's if he became a like, let's just say he became a first
I think he'll be
pick.
Like, I think he'll be like a maybe a Carson Wentz type kind of guy.
Well, say he became just a freaking franchise quarterback right out the gate. Okay, I promise you, he could be the highest paid at one point in time in the NFL. But he will be in the category of highest paid quarterbacks, hottest wives, but ugliest quarterback category.
Yeah.
Jay Cutler.
For sure.
Yeah, Jay Cutler fell in that ring. But
They got the third person going, number pick three, is another quarterback. So that's why I say I don't think that defensive end is going to go number one, because that's two or three quarterbacks that are really good that probably are going to get picked. Because you got to think, the teams that are going to pick number one overall, the first pick in the draft will be the Bengals. They'll probably pick a new quarterback because Dalton, they're going to get rid of him. And then I think the next pick is either the Lions or the Redskins. And I don't think the Redskins are going to pick a quarterback because they got Haskins from last year. And the Lions, the Lions might not pick. Actually, they might pick Chase Young because they got Matthew Stafford.
How about Ninja at the beginning of the year? Huh?
Yeah, that's out there. Gonna win the Super
Lions
Bowl.
Are going to go all the way. Well, their record was miserable. I mean, it wasn't. I'm trying to think. I'm thinking Bengals may have had the worst record of the season.
Oh, here we go.
I
got the whole number, the picks, the first round. The Bengals pick first, Redskins second, Lions third, Giants fourth, Dolphins fifth, Chargers, I didn't even realize they were terrible, sixth, seventh is the Panthers, eighth is the Cardinals, ninth is the Jaguars, and then 10 are the Browns, which that's my team. And it's hard to tell what they're going to do because they don't even have a coach or a GM right now. So, who knows? We should have went to the Super Bowl this year with all the talent we had, but we are terrible.
And Tank, for all listeners that don't know, why by chance has Bengals got first pick? Is it because of the best? Is that why?
No, they had the worst record in the NFL. 2-14, I think it was, something like that.
2-4. They won their last game. Shoot. No.
What is it?
I think they won their last game, I believe.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Because they beat the Browns again. Well, the Browns beat them the first time, and then the Browns lost the second time.
Yeah.
Well, that's enough sports for today.
Sorry about that. Little mic issues here. Hear me all right?
What?
You still hear me all right?
Yeah, it's just a little weird. Sounds really loud.
Okay. Well, what now? Sound all right now?
I mean, it sounds fine to me, but I don't know how it'll sound on the thing.
Well, I'm going to edit the audio anyway. Yes.
I have a 19 interesting facts for you about the movie that was pretty highly received well, whatever, the Joker movie.
Ooh, I'm ready. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm interested.
I just watched it last night.
Was it worth it?
I mean, I didn't really. I mean, it's definitely a good movie, but
I mean,
I don't
if
like
Marv,
movies.
He was a DC
guy.
Okay.
Because it actually has like a little, I guess you would say, Easter egg with Joker. I don't want to really like spoil it, but like Joker gets perceived well by people in the city at the like end. I'm not going to say how or why, but then one of the people that's dressed up like a Joker, like they wear a mask, ends up killing Bruce Wayne's family
parents.
Or whatever, and then you see him just standing over him.
Also kind of led into, because that's
into
one thing
the,
I kind of wouldn't ever describe. We all know that his parents died on, was it Crime Street or something stupid? But
so
yeah.
The role Arthur Fleek, which is the main character's name in the movie, was already like conceived that the guy that plays him, Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know how to say his name, Joaquin, whatever, was in mind to play him before they even cast him as the Joker. So
awesome
if they didn't. So if they didn't have him, then they probably wouldn't have made it, I would assume. I don't know.
Is that the same actor that played Walk the Line?
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I was just making sure.
And then the guy. I got 18 facts for you about this movie. So it says Phoenix based Joker's laugh on videos of real people suffering from pathological laughter, involuntary laughing and crying due to a nervous system disorder. Because in the movie he does some like creepy, like if someone was mentally unstable kind of laugh, that's what it would be. And he did a pretty good job on it.
That is so cool.
Of course, if you've seen what he looks like in the movie, I'm sure a lot of people have seen it by now. Really, really skinny. He went on a real big diet, lost 52 total pounds, and he had to get supervised by a doctor because he lost so much weight.
I need to go by his diet and see what it was.
Right. The plot for the movie came from a failed stand-up comedian, came from the Batman the Killing Joke graphic novel. often considered to be the definitive Batman versus Joker story, and one of the most popular graphic novels ever made.
Wow.
I did not know that.
Graphic I did not.
Novels are a big hit.
That's awesome.
Oh, here we go. This would be a funny little thing for you guys out there. We'll just say a adult website revealed that there have been 741,000 searches for Joker since the movie's release in October. I'm not one to judge, but the kinks. Come on, guys, is what it says. I don't know what the heck that means, but whatever.
Wow.
When preparing for the role, Phoenix studied the movements of iconic silent film stars like Busty, Keaton, and Ray Bolger. I don't know who any of those people are, but I'm sure there's probably some listeners that know who they are. Also, Phoenix didn't look at any other Joker in person, like any other actor, for his role. He did it all himself, his own direction, the way he wanted the character to be. And from like the bits and pieces that I was watching, I think he did a good job. But compared to Heath Ledger's Joker, no, there's no way.
That's the only thing is you got anybody that ever plays Joker in the future like this. You got to like them in their own way. You don't want to go down the road of comparison, because then you're just going to hate everybody. Because, I mean, Heath Ledger is a legend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be Heath Legend is his name.
Now, you remember that Dark Knight movie where they show the hospital? It's called, like, Arkham State Hospital.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have that in this movie, too.
Really?
But that building is a real building. It's called the Brooklyn Army Terminal Annex Building. And the only thing that's different about it is it says Arkham State Hospital in the movies. Everything else is identical.
I think the Dark Knight trilogy is my favorite. I mean, I know a lot of rumors, speculation, as well as, you know, Christian Bale's a terrible guy. He's hard to work with. And I probably agree with that. But regardless of his doings or what he does outside the camera, he's a freaking... I mean, he did a great job, I think. One of the best Batmans, period. And people always go back to the old Adam West days. Dude, personally, and I love DC... I can't stand the old Batmans. I just don't. I don't like it because it's just too comical and witty and stupid.
Well, to me, you know me. I don't like any DC. So I mean, I don't really have an opinion. But if I was to watch one, it would probably be the Christian Bale movies.
Yeah, the Dark Knight series or trilogy. Absolutely. And just to let everybody know when he says it like that's because when we're growing up together, it's pretty much he's a Marvel guy all the way through and through. And I'm a DC guy through and through. So
will say the only DC movie that I have watched lately that's really good was the Shazam, I believe is what it's called. And it's exactly. It's like the DC version of Deadpool, but PG version of Deadpool. Like he doesn't really cuss because if you know what the movie is about, it's about a kid that turns into Shazam. So the kid, of course, isn't going to say all the stuff that Deadpool says because Deadpool's a grown man. And
speaking on Deadpool part, what about Deadpool 3 being confirmed? Yeah. But I really do hope that since it's under Disney's control now, to an extent, and they still left and kept the rated R rating on it prematurely. I just hope it doesn't lose nothing.
I don't see him making it as bad as it. Like, I love both of them, but I mean, I don't see him making it as graphic as those two were. There's no way.
Could you imagine the Deadpool series on Disney Plus?
Well, then again, you got to realize they've made Disney was technically a part of Avengers, and Avengers isn't like all PG. Like, it's got some cussing and killing in it. People, you know, it's not gonna be that terrible. But
no. I just hope the feel don't change. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you'd be watching it and it look normal, but like, there's just something that just seems like feels different. I mean, I just hope it don't. You know, I hope it don't do that, because like, I will say that for one, I am definitely a Ryan Reynolds fanboy through and through. I love Ryan Reynolds. He's hilarious.
Some good, like that Netflix movie. I've seen some like.
Yeah, the Six. I watched Underground Six. I watched it. Honestly, it's not that bad. I mean, of course, it ain't gonna be nothing that you will always remember.
Yeah.
But it's worth watching. It's funny. There's some parts in it that's actually super funny.
You know
funny,
what's even crazier to think about is how much Netflix has to be making, because if you realize it, they got like Kevin Hart, Ryan Reynolds, Dwayne Johnson, all these people making Netflix movies.
Adam Sandler.
Adam Sandler, yeah. Like, it's just crazy to think about. Like, all these movie stars aren't making movies for the theaters, but for Netflix.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of push on that. Someone's not going to just do it. Oh, yeah, I'll make an exclusive for you.
Yeah.
So
let's see. Some more facts about that Joker movie, since we're still on the subject. It was deliberately based in 1981 to keep away from the current events in the DC Extended Universe. So it doesn't want to make, like, what's
conflict
happening
with anything.
Yeah.
That's a fun fact. I didn't know that.
In the movie, the main character, he performs at a comedy club. Of course, it's in Gotham. Pogo the Clown was the stage name of a real-life professional clown and serial killer. Guess who?
Yep.
The guy that dressed up in clown?
John Wayne Gacy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the homosexual kid killer. What a freak. Yep. Freak, man.
Also, Joker is the first R-rated movie in history to make $1 billion. R-rated. And if you watch the movie, you know why it's R-rated.
It's pretty, some pretty messed up stuff.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I expected, you know, that's the thing, is people's giving it crap. I mean, when it first came out, it was like, don't watch this. It shines, you know, it just shows too much, and it makes, you know, make people stuff.
If anybody's ever watched Deadpool or any other movie, this is way less graphic as those movies. Like, there's some parts in there that's, of course, you know, rated R, there's going to be blood and all that. But from what I've watched, I don't see, the only thing I can say is it's rated R is because of cursing and all the stuff that they do in it. But it's a good watch, I would say.
If anybody knows who the Joker is, that's what it's all about. This is why he became the way he was.
Yeah, it's like a prologue to the story or beginning or whatever.
So everything I believe, I haven't seen it, but everything that I believe that it's shown was for a reason. Not to cause people in real life to have problems. People are just snowflakes, man.
I think people are just saying that because there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's like mental stuff. Like, it's showing that the guy's mentally not there and stuff.
And
the movie, there's like couple scenes, like back to back, that are exactly like a correlation, I guess you would say, between that Joker the movie and Taxi Driver. It's like the Robert De Niro movie that came out a long time ago.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And it like does exactly what he did, Taxi Driver. Joker does it almost.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
There's a scene, of course, you've probably seen memes about it, about the Joker on the stairs, you know?
Yeah.
And it became so popular that they're now a place on Google Maps. Fans even put it into the religious destination category. Now, that's a little far-fetched. Religious destination. That's a little bit. That's a little bit worshipy.
Yeah, that's a little out there, isn't it?
Yeah. And then there's, I guess I could say it. People's had to watch this movie, but now you're the only one that hasn't watched it yet.
I haven't, but no, it ain't going to.
But
go
it's
ahead.
Just, it's not going to give away like the.
Even if it did, I still like to watch it. You know what I mean?
Phoenix was in the bath, improvised the bathroom dance scene on the spot. In the script, he's supposed to run in the bathroom, hide the gun, and wash his face. But instead, he does a dance move, a dance number, and he improvises it.
See, that's cool. That's cool, man. You know, that's what makes, that's the difference between good actors.
The only thing that's going to suck is what I just read right now is because, you know, they're making that new Batman movie.
Yeah.
Right. And it says the guy, Todd Phillips, the guy that made the movie, he says he wants comic book movie fans to know that there's no chance of Phoenix's Joker and Robert Pattinson's Batman ever crossing over on the big screen. He added that doesn't mean Pattinson won't ever possibly face off against a Joker. It just won't be in his version. So that's not good.
No. Oh, for all the fans that don't know, can you elaborate who you just said the garbage Batman's going to be? Now, look, this is a Dark Knight, by the way.
The only thing I could say, the reason they're doing it is because he's young and he looks like he's rich is the only reason I would say. But he's a guy that played... about 10 years ago, they made a movie called Twilight, and they made like 4 or 5 movies. I don't know how many, but he was the lead vampire, and ever since then, hasn't made a good movie. I mean, I didn't like those movies anyway, but like he hasn't been successful, really.
I shouldn't have complained about Ben Affleck. Look what I got now.
Yeah, now you got a Twilight saga.
I mean, from a DC guy, this burns me up. Absolutely burns me up. You can't get Christian Bale back in there, probably not, but still, man, like, that's a thing I will say that I do like Marvel over DC is that the consistency, like, whenever I say who's Superman, aside of the old Supermans, I mean, like, you know, I mean, the most recent, not Superman.
Yeah, like, Marvel has Iron Man. Who is
That's what I mean, not Downey Superman, Jr. but Iron Man, yeah. That's what I mean. You know, it's Tony Stark. Who's Tony Stark? You know who it's going to be.
Yeah,
you don't have to think about it, you know. But they keep consistency, and I don't. And this has not been a first thing. This is like I don't know. It seems like it's been a trend, a celebrity trend on who gets to be Batman.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's dumb. Yeah, you know, one point in time, for God's sake, it was George Clooney. Then at one point, it was I forget his name. The other Batman, the wasn't so bad, had Jim Carrey's a Riddler in it,
Val Kilmer or something.
Yeah, and Schwarzenegger is the Iceman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to freeze you.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. I got another movie to tell you about in a second. But the guy that played Joker said that his laugh in the movie was the toughest part of the whole role. Because, he laughs a lot.
I think it's what his laughs are. Was creepy. Like, it definitely has that kind of feel to it that I thought he did a really good job on, at least with trailers I've seen.
Yeah.
He did a really good job on perceiving or giving you the feeling that he's unstable. Really good job because, you know, you kind of feel like the Joker is. You know, when you see Joker in any other thing or whether it be in a cartoon, whatever, is Joker kind of, you don't know if he's serious or he's sad or mad. He's everything, really, at all times. And he did a really good job, I think, from a Joker perspective. I mean,
he didn't do bad. I mean, I still think, like I said, Heath Ledger did better, but you have to watch it. And
yeah,
it's decent. And then there's one last thing about the movie. Apparently, I didn't even notice it, but all the clocks in the movie were set to 11:11. And fans of the movie went crazy with Bible verse theories and such. But when asked about it, director Todd Phillips said it's just a coincidence. And
I always thought 11:11. Was it 11:11 make a wish? Was that an old saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I would have thought. I wouldn't want all Bible verse on it, though.
All I got for that movie. I mean, because I just watched it, so I thought some facts about it would be pretty interesting, but... I guess there's always the facts about the best Christmas movie ever made. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm. No, what is it? What's the best Christmas movie? What do you...
Die Hard.
Oh. I've seen so many memes about this in general.
There's some facts about that, but that's... Yeah. We don't want to learn about that right now. Let's jump into some... since it's a new year, let's celebrate... 18 weird things we can do on the holidays in the new year.
Ooh.
Well, I can't
18.
tell you because I don't see it on here. So they're lying to me. Oh, it's a video. I'm not going to watch this video.
Well,
okay, that's out of here.
We'll change from gaming real quick. I know it's like a broken record. But right now, your thoughts will go before and after. When Modern Warfare first came out, what was your thoughts? When it first came out.
Another boring Call of Duty.
Another boring Call of Duty. But it wasn't, you know, it felt like it could have potential. It felt like it could.
And then it was really good. And then it just got repetitive. Like, I realized, if anybody doesn't know by now, Call of Duty was where I started it all. So I have a big soft spot in it.
And that's where we met. That's what we met playing Call of Duty 4.
And,
you know,
like, ever since Call of Duty, I don't know, what did you say? Call of Duty Ghost was the last decent one. Ever since that last one, from there on, for the past, I don't know, 7 years, I'd say, have been absolute dog trash.
It's been.
I hate Black
been a
Ops
trip.
3. I hate Black Ops 4. I hate. I don't hate World War 2. World War 2 is decent. Infinite Warfare, I think, was the other one. It was okay. The guns were decent, but the jumping around crap, I'm just not a fan of.
And you
I don't like
become
that
a robotic
crap.
Dog, and when you run through people, it like blows them
and
up.
And then of course, with Infinite Warfare, they did the Modern Warfare Remastered, which was god awful. It was the same Call of Duty 4, but it was so bad because of the respawns.
And they added
respawning was terrible.
Freaking loot chests.
Loot chest, yep.
Gosh.
And what that started with, all you don't know, it all started with Advanced Warfare. And Advanced Warfare, the only thing good about that game, the only thing I hate about the game and like about the game, hate about it is you had to spend money to get packages because it would take too long to earn the packages. But the best thing that they did was the variants of the guns, which would be, one would be more powerful than the other. There'd be epic, legendary, whatever it was called, rare, super rare, I don't even remember.
Like, but nowadays, everybody's like, oh, it's just cosmetic. Nah, man. Advanced Warfare, it
Advanced
wasn't cosmetic,
Warfare was,
bro.
They had cosmetics in the game, but they also
like
had
the
guns that were
exoskeleton,
overpowered.
I believe it was called.
Yeah, exoskeleton, yeah.
Yeah, that was all cosmetic. And
speaking
you
of
know,
exoskeletons, and I don't know where at, what state it's in, but the place where they make cars, like the hometown for cars, not Detroit or anything, but it's like a motor company. I don't remember who it was, but I've seen it yesterday when I was watching the news, and they actually interviewed this guy, and the dude had an exoskeleton suit on, like
what?
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare,
what?
because they use it to lift up boxes and all that so they don't strain their back.
That is pretty dope, though. That's pretty cool. That is actually awesome.
So, this new Call of Duty, I was like, oh, it's another Call of Duty. It's going to be boring. The first, I don't know, what do you say, about month, 2 months, and
before a season pass came out, you know.
Before a season pass came out, it was good, and then it got to a point where you maxed your level out. Well, I didn't, but
150 with no prestiges.
With no prestiges, which prestiges were taken out of the game for some stupid reason. I always like prestiges, always
have. First
time
ever. First time
ever. Don't know why they did it. And then, like, 2 months into it, I'm like, dude, this is so repetitive and boring. And, of course, I used to be a big-time Call of Duty guy, but, like, this new, not new, but 2 years old now, Fortnite came out, and it's just, like, it changed the whole perspective on video games, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
It's just like they do, it's not just, I get it, it's cartoonish, it's for children, blah, 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 but you also realize that there's adults that play the game that are making more money than I'll ever make in my life playing this video game. Not Call of Duty. Call of Duty don't have no $3 billion tournament. But Fortnite's just where it's been taking me, because it's just so different. Every time you play it, it's different. You can either win, you could either die. You could die a stupid way, or you could get in a build fight, win. There's just a bunch of other stuff. If you guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm saying. There's a bunch of stuff that can happen. And of course they have challenges. Different skins you can get. It's just, I don't know. It's really good.
There's one thing, though, that Fortnite does that no one else does, which is the way that they're marketing.
Yeah.
There's a reason why they have so much money. It's not just because it's a good game. There's tons of games out there that's decent, good games, but they die. Not because they suck. It's because they don't keep up with it. Fortnite has not just magically became a social phenomenon by luck. There's other battle royale games out there well before Fortnite. It's not that. It's that they keep on keeping on. They keep it fresh. They put stuff in there that you hate. They put stuff in there that you love. And they don't stop. They don't stop. And that kind of determination is something, you know, from the outside, you're like, oh, Fortnite, man. That's for kids. You know, kid base. They have it at Walmart. It's for kid base. That's a cosmetic outside look at it. Look from an internal perspective. They are freaking,
I mean, people got to realize also, Fortnite's changing the game that gaming companies do stuff. Like, yep. Let's see, Call of Duty, for instance, Black Ops 4. You would have never thought Call of Duty would ever have a battle royale, because the only battle royales back in the day were like H1Z1. DayZ was kind of like a battle royale. Like, you'd walk around and kill people. There was PUBG that came out on PC. There was really no good battle royale game that did it right. And Fortnite came out and made battle royale, and then 2 years later it's the number one battle royale ever and making more money than all these companies. It's going downhill, like 25% loss, but they're still making billions of dollars. It's just crazy.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, at one point in time, and like whenever me first really got into battle royale, period, was PUBG, which,
and it was terrible.
PUBG should have been left on the PC.
Yeah.
And just mostly because of the keybinds, it made sense.
I think the only reason the PUBG isn't as good is their whole problem that's always been since it started is the way that it's like laggy. Like, no matter if you have a good PC, the servers are trash. The graphics aren't the greatest. You figure by now they would like update the graphics or something by now. But
yeah,
I don't know.
It's just too hard. And my biggest pet peeve also is, see, Fortnite's very simplistic on you got your own little way of doing things. You put yada yada, but you do it simple with flicks of a finger, man. Yeah. You can put things where you need to be and give it to people, whatever. But on PUBG, on PC, it's no big deal at all, man. It's another day in the park. Yeah. But on Xbox controller or PS4 controller, you're doing so much crap.
Yeah, you're doing
just
so
to
much.
Put attachment on a gun or give something to somebody or loot. The worst thing I think about the game I hate is freaking trying to loot.
Yeah, you know, that's what I would say. The servers are terrible.
Yes.
Since we're on the subject of Fortnite, I will tell you some interesting facts about Fortnite that people might not know about.
We're going to hashtag this, and it's called Fact Check with Chris.
There you go. Fact check. I'm the human Google machine.
We are doing that for real. I'm going to put it in the bio. Fact Check Chris, or Fact Check with Chris.
So one word. There's only 8 of them that I have right now. But since I'm a Fortnite, that's all I pretty much play, that and Madden and Call of Duty whenever I get bored. But Battle Royale was not the number one attraction for Fortnite. And of course, if you played Fortnite when it first came out, like me and Brandon did, it was just a campaign co-op style game, third person, about zombies and building a fort and going missions, doing all that stuff.
Which was still fun, don't get me wrong. It was still fun.
Right. But it was never supposed to be that. And then they saw that production for PUBG came out, which, of course, PUBG came out before Fortnite. But Fortnite was like, oh, wow, PUBG's becoming popular. Maybe we should try something like that. And 2 weeks later, 10 million players were hooked about the Battle Royale of Fortnite. 10 million players were hooked just because of that.
I try to think Fortnite was PUBG one of the first port or Xbox or, you know, console royales?
Yeah,
I'm trying to think.
PUBG was, I'm pretty sure.
I think it
was. Because H1Z1, well, actually, H1Z1 might have been before PUBG for the PS4, but I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't know that fact, so don't fact check me on that.
Don't fact check. Don't hash that out, guys.
Why is it called Fortnite Battle Royale? You guys know?
Do you?
Well, let me tell you.
Mind blown.
To answer the question, you've got to remember the original thirst of the game and its development. Forts, of course, were in the game for the zombie mode. Monsters, zombies, loot, and resources to build structures to keep them safe from those mutants at bay. They were the forts of the Fortnite Battle Royale. Additionally, in the original concept, players would be choosing differing characters. Like, there'd be a guy that's really fast. I think they call him a ninja in the game. I can't remember now. I haven't played the co-op in 2 years.
I believe it is the category.
In the Fortnite Battle Royale mode, the models are all similar to the campaign mode, I guess you would say. Difference between characters is just cosmetic, and the stats you don't get from the co-op you don't get in Fortnite Battle Royale. Fortnite, the name, was actually a triple entredre. I don't know how to say that word, so we'll skip that word and just say it's a triple threat. An early event in the game was a 14-day survival marathon where waves of monsters poured out over 2 weeks, and Fortnite is a term for a two-week period.
That's cool. That's interesting.
So when Battle Royale took over as the main driver of the users and people playing the game, the name went from something that described the elements of the game in three different ways to have precisely zero to do with anything. But hey, Fortnite Battle Royale just sounds cool, and that apparently is enough. Of course, you guys know, but if you guys play Fortnite Season 5, this isn't on the website. I remember this. Season 5, they had the hamburger, and it disappeared from the map, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But
oh,
did
yeah.
you guys know that it actually appeared in California desert near Palmdale, California?
And I remember that.
And someone took a photograph of it.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Yeah, something else interesting. I'm not going to read all these because it would be boring to some people. Oh, here you go. How much money do you think Fortnite has made, Brandon?
How much money? Like, just from the beginning till now?
We'll go till 2018.
2018. Are we in the bills?
Well, I can't tell you that. That'll give it away.
I'm going to say 7.2.
No, nah, that's a little too high. 7.2 what?
I'll say 1.3.
Billion?
What are you saying?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying anything. I'm reading. it actually has brought in $2.5 billion in just, get this, people, transactions alone. Yes, that means in-game transactions for just, what do you think it's for? You think it's for, like, oh, I get a cool gun with special powers. No, you get it for cosmetics only.
Transactions that give you no benefit. That's
no
how
benefits
much people
at all.
Love the game.
Now, this $2.5 billion in transaction, it doesn't just say that it's for, like, well, I guess it does. It says Battle Royale, so I guess it doesn't go by the campaign. There's probably people that spend money in the campaign, too, and you actually get, like, characters that are good,
story.
You know.
Well, you're playing AI and stuff, so it don't really matter to have something more powerful. That just helps you out in the game. But I do like it, you know, and... It's intriguing.
Did you guys know that since Fortnite has came out, I am now 30 wins in. Can you believe it? That's pretty bad, all you people that don't know. I'm just too old, I guess, to figure this stuff out. 30 wins is still pretty good, but I also just play duos, and duos is a lot sweatier, I think.
If, dude, look, this is the only game, and I will admit this, I'm not trying to be cocky. Let's just say, you know, me and Tank, we're not bad at games. You know, especially in the Call of Duty.
Call of Duty, we used to be top notch.
And that's not just saying it.
Then again, I mean, that was 10 years ago. I mean, we're still really good at Call of Duty, but 10 years ago, if we would have, like, actually tried and not, you know, try to grow up and go to college and get jobs, we could have probably went MLG team, to be honest.
If Twitch was a thing back then, it would have been a different ball game. But yeah. I don't want to be Rico off of Napoleon Dynamite either. Yeah. You know, it's probably what I sound like right now.
Yeah. I can get a nuke. And then he throws the ball, and he's like, hey, I can throw this ball over the mountain, and it just goes right, like, in front of him. That's like us. Like, we'll try to get nuke, and then we only get, like, 10 kills. It's just not the same. We're not as good as we were.
It reminds me so much, though, when he's like, man, he says, coach would have put me in fourth quarter, we went to state.
Since we're on the funny subject, I have a funny little story for you guys out there. Completely off subject, completely random, but I thought it was funny because I read it this morning. And this is not a drill, is what this is called. This is not a drill. Oscar Mayer's Wiener Mobile is hiring new drivers for 2020.
Oh, my God.
Oscar Mayer Wiener Mobile has had many navigators over its 84-year history. Race car drivers and such. The Oscar Mayer company is looking for a new generation of, as they would say, hot doggers to get behind the wheel of the iconic ride.
Some hot dog breakers.
Food and Wine reports the applications are being accepted for only one year you get to do this. From 1 year position now through January 31st. So this you only got like 20 some days left.
Yo, I'm going to apply and you don't even got to pay me.
It is a primary PR job, and candidates with a BA? What's BA? Yeah, is that Bachelor Associates? What is that?
Bro, bachelor in what? Hot dog ranking?
Oh, no, it tells you. It says public relations, journalism, communication, advertising, or marketing are preferred. But my thing is, of that whole thing I just read, who the F is going to have a college degree and be like, hey, you know, I went to college for 4 years for journalism, public relations, or communication, but I'm going to go drive in a hot dog car and do my career for not even a whole year.
Dude, I mean, yeah, exactly. Am I going to really say which one's worse? Okay. We know the studies have shown so far in life that there's tons of people going to college dropping, you know, between $70,000, $100,000, but it's hard to find jobs. That's bad, but you're trying. Or is it worse to say, yo, I dropped down like $80,000 and I'm a hot dog wrangler?
that is the title of
this episode, guys. It's getting changed, and it's hot dog wrangler.
Hot dog wrangler, that's a good one.
Carl
Mayer, the guy, Oscar Mayer's nephew, so Oscar Mayer must have passed, God bless his soul, introduced the first Wiener Mobile in 1936, and today there are 6 vehicles on the road, making up to 1,400 stops a year.
Only 6?
Only 6 vehicles, yeah. You know what it reminds me of? I don't know if you guys have seen the movie. I'm sure you have to have seen it by now. Dumb and Dumber, when they're driving the freaking
the Muttmobile.
It reminds me of, like, if it was, that's who would be driving. The people that drive that have to have, like, no sense to them at all. No offense to people, like, that want to drive the hot dog cars, but come on now. Like, who really wants to drive a hot dog car?
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm totally boycotting hot dogs, trying to make me get a bachelor's to drive a freaking hot dog for you.
Oh, did you guys know also that after disappearing for a couple decades, the Wiener Mobile
Bro, give me more facts on this hot dog.
revived in 1986 for its what anniversary? 50th anniversary, people. 50 years the Wienermobile has been here.
50 Oscar years, Mayer hires 12. Expanded to 6 hot dogs. That's not even enough in a pack. How many is in a pack?
You figure Oscar Mayer would make a lot of money by now. Come on now. Mayer hires 12 new hot doggers each year and usually
hot dog wranglers, right?
Guess how many applications they get?
How many?
Over 1,000.
In a year?
In a year. It says each year usually receives more than 1,000 applications. So there's people out there that are just like me. Who the F wants to drive in a hot dog?
Well, I mean, probably a hard if they go ahead and search up some usernames on a Grindr app.
Oh, now don't make no fun of people that use that app.
I went there. I don't care if you use that app or not. I was just making a hot dog wrangler comment. Regardless, they're hot dog wranglers. Hot doggers, I don't care. It's hot dog wranglers, okay? And you need I can't wrap my mind. You can say whatever you want right now, and I'm still trying to wrap my mind that I need to get a bachelor's degree to drive a freaking hot dog.
Well, hey, I don't know if you know this or not, but the job comes with benefits and a competitive salary in addition to the impressive title of hot dog driver. The new hires must be ready to hit the road in June of this year for a shot at becoming Oscar Mayer's next Wienermobile driver. Apply at the end of the month. I'm applying right now.
What's the rules? Like, you apply.
I'm not joking.
Like, okay.
Become a hot dogger. Here we go. Description. Who?
Do it. I want to hear it.
You. We need outgoing, creative, friendly, enthusiastic, graduating college seniors.
Oh, they got to use that, don't they? Graduating, huh?
Who have an appetite for adventure and are willing to see the country through the windshield of an Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Applicants should have a BA or a BS, preferably in relations, journalism, blah, blah, blah. Like I said.
Bachelor's in hot dog wrangling.
What? To represent Oscar Mayer as a brand ambassador through radio and television appearances, newspaper interviews, grocery retail, and charity functions, to meet, in quotations, and greet people from coast to coast, to maintain company car, to work with internal and external consumer promotions, marketing, and sales professionals, to manage your own traveling public relations firm, organize promotions, contributing to brand social content, and pitching to TV, radio, and print media about how great Oscar Mayer Wiener's hot dog and bologna and such is. Where is this at? The hot dog highways of America. Wienermobile vehicles travel through all regions of the country, visiting big cities and small towns alike, bringing miles of smiles to millions. Why?
You gonna parallel park at Wiener.
The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile has become an American icon for over 80 years and provides a wiener whistle and a smile for all. Oscar Mayer uses the Wienermobile at special events throughout the country.
Wait a minute. What's a wiener whistle?
I don't know. Here we go. Wienermobile spokesperson / hot dogger, as they call it.
Hot dog wrangler. They
call this condiments, which is the cons of working for Oscar Mayer.
It's
competitive
so
salary, expenses, benefits, and team apparel are covered by Oscar Mayer. Experience being your own traveling public relations firm. Experience in a self-managed positions with many responsibilities. Being a mini celebrity in small towns and big city through event appearances and media interviews. And of course, out of all things, being the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile driver.
The hot dog wrangler.
The hot dog wrangler.
Hey.
Here you go. Do you cut the mustard, as they say? Do you qualify? If you're an outgoing, creative, friendly, enthusiastic college graduate with a big appetite for adventure, send your resume and cover letter to Oscar Mayer for a hot dogger position in Wisconsin, dude. What an interesting little story that was.
Wait a second, man. Google up Wiener Whistle.
Okay, let me look it up. Wiener Whistle.
Yeah, Wiener Whistle. I want to know what this is. A Wiener Whistle.
I'm going to look it up. I got a Weenie Whistle from the Wiener Mobile.
Yes.
That's what this is called. I can't tell you because I'm not on my headphones. I can hear stuff. I'll just assume it goes like, pew, pew, Wiener's here. Something like that. So we got that little fun little funny story.
Oh my gosh! Hey, everybody, right now apply. Forget the bachelors. Once you put, for one, I have any job I've ever done in my entire life, I've never put a cover letter. So that's a start. But how many guys and girls out there wants to be a hot dog wrangler? That is awesome.
Not me. Hey, I got a interesting kind of story about how your story was about Bigfoot.
Wiener Whistle, man.
Last episode, I mean.
Wiener Whistle. Go ahead, sir. I'm still stuck on the whole.
Yeah, I just remembered. Emily told me about this today, and I had to look it up. Emily's my wife, people, if you didn't know. Yes, I'm married. Ladies, get off me. anyways, this is apparently, I've never even heard of this till Emily told me about it. And she apparently heard it from one of her relatives or something. Apparently, this thing is called a grass man.
Grass okay? man. Location-wise, where?
Well, I'll tell you. I'm getting ready to read you some.
No, okay, okay, player.
The grass man, also known as the Ohio grass man.
O-H-I-O.
Grass man, or orange eyes, is a tall, bipedal hominoid that stalks the woods of Ohio, hence the name Ohio Grassman. It is reportedly very similar to, you guess what, Bigfoot. It seems to be much more aggressive than any other Sasquatch species. So does a species like the Sasquatch. The Grassman gets its name from the small hut-like living structures or nest it builds out of tall grass. Now you're like, well, how do people even know about this? Like, where did they see him at? Well, I'm about to tell you, people. The first prominent sighting of grass man occurred in a small village of Minnebarra, Ohio, in August of 1978. You know what I just thought of?
Is that up north?
When was the first sighting of Bigfoot? Was it in the 70s? Because I'm starting to wonder if the 70s people weren't just tripping out on acid and thinking they're seeing human, like, hairy people outside.
I'm telling you. And plus, they probably, you know, hippies probably didn't.
Think about it. It's been over what? It had to be over. It's at least over 30 years, 40 years that no one has seen a Bigfoot, like, in person. Like, they have pictures of it. You always hear about, oh, yeah, Bigfoot, here he is. And he's running through the woods and you can't really tell if it's him. Why isn't there a dead body of a Bigfoot somewhere?
I will say, with today's technology, isn't it funny how today's technology, though, we can take pictures of anything, and all of a sudden, I don't hear no sound, you know, no encounters. But back then, when I couldn't really good pictures,
you heard
tons
all about them. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think people are just tripping out on acid, dog. I'll tell you some more about this. What is it called? Grassman.
Grassman. Not the gas man.
It was in 1978, and it is up north in Ohio, near
Athens.
That's what
I figure. I know south.
Near Athens, Ohio.
Oh.
It was in Mirvana, Athens, and other places in Ohio.
In Greece?
But, hey, and last sighting, guess where it was last sighted at? Athens County, June 20th, 2017.
Oh, crap.
Yeah, that was only a couple, 3 years ago?
Where's the pictures at, man? We got good phones 3 years ago.
Yeah, the picture I'm seeing just looks like a giant Sasquatch, pretty much. Well, anyways, 1978, they was the first sighting. Grandchildren of the Minerva residents, Evelyn and Hal Clayton, along with their friends, ran inside screaming about a hairy monster they saw in a gravel pit outside. When the couple went out to investigate, they saw what the crying children had described. It was covered in dark matted hair, sitting in the pit and fiddling with discarded trash. It was estimated to be around 300 pounds, The Claytons fled, but this would not be their last encounter with the Ohio's ape man, as they say. The Claytons would see this grass man many times after the initial encounter. One night it was seen peering at them through the kitchen window. Hey, that's kind of like what your dad's was talking about last week.
If you guys listen to the bonus episode, Pops had one with the Bigfoot that was peering through the window as well.
Maybe it's legit.
Maybe it's a trend.
Hal ran for his gun. Sounds exactly like this your dad's story. But the primate was gone before he returned. The area was later investigated by police, and although there was no sign of the hairy humanoid, several faint footprints were observed in the mud, and a terrible smell still lingered in the air. The Ohio grassman was later seen by the Claytons atop a hill near the strip mine at night. So they like caves and hill mines too, just like Sasquatch. The next month, in broad daylight, the couple observed two hairy bipeds on the same hill. It says only after these reports by the Claytons were made that a startling connection was made. Days before the gravel pit incident, the Claytons' German Shepherd dog was found dead. Its neck was broken, presumably killed by the hairy beast.
Good God.
Let me see if anything recently. Late 1800s, sightings of similar hairy biped were made by the Ohio River. Tried to throw a man out of his carriage in the 1800s.
That sounds...
People don't really know if it's called Grassman or if it's just actually a Sasquatch. People are making assumptions that it's a new characteristic of Bigfoot. But the characteristics of the Grassman are as such. The height, you're probably like, oh, he's probably like really tall. No, he's not that tall. Ranges from 5'10", which is my height. Generally in the 6 to 7 foot range. So he's like a tall basketball player. The footprints are 10 to 20 inches long. Handprints have not been found. It weighs 3 to 1,000 pounds. Sound. Some reports say it growls and barks with unusual heavy breathing, but also reports say it sounds like the cry of a baby or the scream of a woman.
I'll go with growl.
Yeah. It has a strong odor or rot that lingers in the area even days after it's vacated. Appearance are snub nose, peaked or deep set eyes, very chesty, blackish brown in color, long arms pointed. It's exactly like a Sasquatch gorilla type stance. No visible neck, which is kind of weird. Motion. Apparently people have seen it move. Unlike usual humans, some say it walks like a robot or machinery. It can throw large rocks and can break tree limbs. Victim is kind of the same ordeal as the Sasquatch here. Is known to kill dogs. What? And numerous unusual deer kills have been reported with just deer's liver taken out and legs twisted off.
Oh, God.
There's only been 5 individuals who have been seen of these things. So 5 separate grassmen have been seen.
That's creepy to see one. They don't have 5 accounts.
There's a trail cam picture of this thing on someone's trail cam. It's kind of weird.
Is it pretty creepy looking?
It kind of looks like Photoshop, to be honest. I'll just tell you that. It really looks like a Sasquatch from like this stuff I'm looking at. It literally does. Like, I think it's just people trying to make new stuff up. But my wife told me about it today, and I'm like, I've never even heard about that. And I looked it up, and it's a real thing. Apparently, it's been like that for 1800
or something. Next week, or next podcast.
Yeah, my mom. There was like a Mothman thing in Pomeroy, I think.
We need to go. Bro, this September, I never went. I was going to go last year to the Mothman Festival. I was going to go.
It's so small, though. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. I just want to go to it, man.
Let me tell you one little thing I got here for you about some creepy stuff, okay?
All right, hit me.
And then I'll be done with the creepy stuff. I'll tell you a story, like a creepy, I don't know what you'd call it, just creepy story. And it's based out of the state Hawaii. I guess I would say it's a state. And according to legend, the fire goddess Pele and a hog-faced demigod named Kamapui.
Maui.
Yeah, Maui. Had a star-crossed love affair. The lovers were elemental opposites. Pele's lava flows brought flame and destruction, while Kamapui restored rain, vegetation, and animal life. Ultimately, they decided to part forever, with Pele claiming one side of I don't know how to say Hawaii names, so I'll just say Ohana for fire, and Kapapua retreating to the other side, where all is wet and lush. Today, Hawaiian motorists are careful never to drive with pork in their car along the old Pele Highway, which crosses Ahua. According to legend, carrying pork representing hog-faced Kapapua over to Pele's side of the island will enrage her spirit, and she will get her revenge by making the car stall and until the driver throws the pork out the window.
I want to try that.
Now
so
that
bad.
Is a interesting little.
I want to try that
creepy thing, kind of. Man, that is.
I want to.
That's kind of, you know, it kind of reminds me of a kind of. I don't know if people watch Pixar movies or Disney movies. Of course, I have kids, so I watch them.
If you have kids, you definitely watch them.
But in the one of the movies, there was a. I can't remember if it was off of Incredibles. They had a short movie, and it was like about a volcano, and the volcano could sing and all this stuff. And he started like falling in love with this other volcano that he could hear sing, but he didn't know where she was at. But she was an underwater volcano, and I don't know where I'm going with this, but it just reminded me of the. Because it was in Hawaii where the short was.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like that. Like they fell in love, but
this
they stayed in love. Which is
Moana.
Different.
The story
yeah,
you told.
Yeah, kind of like Moana, yeah.
Well, because you said hog face. And I think Maui looks like a hog face, personally. Yeah, kind of. And the lava. Remember the lava is actually a girl. And then once returned
yeah, maybe
that stone,
that, maybe,
became
maybe
grass.
Maybe that's how they thought of the idea. Huh. Mm. Interesting. Okay, well, I have some questions to ask you, Brandon.
Oh.
Some of your thoughts or
okay.
What do you think about stuff in the world that's happening?
Okay, hit me.
The first major thing is I know there's been a bunch of, like, of course, California's had wildfires,
mm-hmm.
Other national disasters we don't really, a lot of people don't care about. Like, for some reason, Australia is getting a lot of attention, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's because Australia has had a fire, if you guys don't know, a wildfire since, I don't even know, the beginning of, what would you say, December, maybe, or
something,
before that?
Something.
It's been going on, raging on, and I just want to know your thoughts. I don't know if you heard this or not, but there has been, let me tell you, I'm going to give you the exact number of how many.
30-some deaths?
No.
30-some deaths, thousands of wildlife?
No, more than that. Way more than that. Well, I read it today, and I didn't believe it. I'll tell you. Hold on. I had the number in my head, but then I forgot. I'll tell you. And then I want to know your thoughts on this whole thing.
Okay.
Okay. Here's some of the stuff that's happened. Bushfire is staggering. 27, almost 30 people. Yeah, 30 people have died. 2,000 homes destroyed. 18 million acres have burned. And over a billion animals in Australia have been killed. How? A billion animals, dude. That's almost all the animals in Australia are going to be no more. Because so, you know the koalas are almost extinct. Kangaroos are, I think, up there. I believe red kangaroos are extinct almost. Stuff like that. So I just wanted to see what your thought on Australia ordeal is.
My last
main topic now. So
well, my last podcast, I read a, there was a tweet, one of the trending tweets was about Australia Fire, of course.
Yeah.
And it's about Ellen was donating and so forth, people donating. Right. But I do want to say, again, I'd said it in the other podcast, is I told everybody last podcast, is every, anything that I earn from the month of January to the end of February in Patreon would be not toward personal use for the podcast, but would be used for donations.
Which, if you look it up, a lot of people are saying, why does everybody care all of a sudden about Australia when a lot of stuff in the United States, across the, like Haiti, you know, all those places have had big impacts. Like Haiti had the earthquake 10 years ago.
And Puerto Rico,
and they're still
just had
recovering. Costa Rica, or Puerto Rico had that, whatever it was.
That earthquake,
Earthquake, yeah. So it's
I have
people
a buddy I work with. His family was involved in that. And
so I just want to see why you think Australia, do you think it has something to do with all the animals that are being killed?
That's probably it, too. There's a lot of, there's some stuff there that's, you know, we mentioned it.
Do you think it's because of 18 million acres have already burned, which is a lot of acres. And if you guys don't know, I hope a lot of people know where Australia is. But Australia is not that big of, like, not that big of land, because it goes New South Wales and there's South Wales.
And I know he's listening right now, but Lewis Finn, or Lewis, we've known him for quite some time.
Yeah, he lives in Australia.
I woke up one morning, which had been nighttime for him, or early, or afternoon, I mean. He sent me a Snapchat in the morning time, and it was, the skies looked miserable. I mean, it was bad. He sent me a picture, and he said, this is what I get to look forward to, and it was the back of his house. And it was just, everything was dark and smoke. He said it's just been at the thick of the air for as long as we can remember right now.
Yeah. And I don't know if people know this or not also, but Australia has different cycles of the season. So you may think that, like, the United States is in winter months seasons right now. I'm pretty sure Australia is in the summer months.
Yeah, it's not winter.
Really,
the picture
where it gets really, really hot.
Yeah, the picture I seen and everything, it was, there was no wind. No, it was... But, now to go back to the creepy thing real quick.
Yeah.
But before I forget it in my brain, I got a little story to tell you guys. Dun, dun, dun. Okay. How long ago, Tank? Probably 10 years ago. And was that your ma's?
Oh, yeah. I'd say probably a little more than that, probably.
Probably 12.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, heck, me and Brittany's been married. Brittany's my wife, by the way. Me and Brittany's been married for 8 this year, or December last year. So, yeah, I'd probably say probably about 13, maybe, something like that. But anyways, I'm not even going to joke, man. I don't get scared that easy. Tank don't get scared that easy. I mean, not because we're just macho men. Oh, you can't scare me. It just don't happen very often.
Some of the stuff that happens in the world that people get scared of, you realize that can't happen.
Yeah.
Is why people get scared.
Yeah.
I still don't believe in ghosts. I kind of do and I kind of don't. It's just, I don't know. I just don't see why. I guess technically ghosts can be real, because if you guys believe in religion, then ghosts are technically some ghosts just haven't made it to the other side yet, but some ghosts are demonic demons.
Yeah, and I believe some bad karma out there, you know, bad stuff out there in general. But I'm telling you right now, like I said, me and Tank's got, like, it's not that we don't want to be scared. You know, it'd be kind of cool to get your adrenaline pumping, don't get me wrong. But it's just that rationalization system in your brain, like, it just automatically kicks. And you just rationalize it. Like, you hear a noise, you don't think ghost. Depending upon what's going on, you may think somebody's breaking in. But you don't think ghost. You just think it's something natural. Something fell. Something, you know what I mean? But I'm not going to lie to you. Of all the times in my life, this is one of the few times that it was pretty creepy.
Also, you forgot to tell them that it was about 2008 is when it happened, because MySpace was the number one social network at the time. Because
is
I had
it
a
MySpace
camera.
Still big?
No. And I had a camera that I just got, And we was like, dude, this camera's so awesome. And we took pictures. I'd go around and take pictures of me and the boys and all that back in the day when we'd all hang out.
Yeah.
And post it to MySpace. And then we was like, had a great idea. It was like, well, I told him about my creepy basement. And then Brandon would tell the rest.
I didn't believe him. Yeah, I was like, okay, yeah, creepy basement. Yeah, I'm you know, basements are creepy, dude. But I'll check.
Brandon, guess what else?
What?
I found out something else about that basement when you're done telling the story.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. So, I believe Joe was there, our other buddy.
Yeah, Joe and B-Rob was there.
Okay, yeah. So, we all four went down this basement. Now, I'm thinking to myself, basement, same crap. I mean, like I said, basements are just naturally just saying the word, just creepy.
Which,
so
by the way, the basement was only used when we had that house, me and my mom and grandparents. The only thing we used that for was laundry room, and everything else wasn't used.
So we went down in there, okay? It was, I mean, you could see under the floorboards, like, you know what I mean, like across the whole, underneath the house.
Yeah.
And it was like at one point in time, you can tell that it was freshly laid, you know, cement and little wall structures. But you can tell no one's been down there, like, you know what I mean, like ritually.
Right.
And so we went down in there, and it was already a creepy vibe anyways. Now, look. I don't, you know, necessarily, it's not that I don't believe in ghosts by no means. It's just like, I've not had an encounter, you know what I mean? So,
right.
But anyways, from what I hear from watching, which used to be just Travel Channel, now it's like Ghost Network, but they talk about feeling, you know, either coldness feel or just feeling in general, just like a thickness, you know, just weird. Mm-hmm. And I just, oh my God, like as soon as we went down there, I already had like, bam. I wasn't.
And people also, it's not like the basement was abandoned. Like I said, there was a room that we used for laundry, but the other rooms were not ever touched. Like there was one room straight ahead when you go down the stairs, which was like a old workshop that my grandpa used that he never used anymore. It was like a workshop, I would say. Had a bunch of like little paint stuff and all that. And then they had another room, which where the sub pump was, which is, people don't know, if you have old style houses, it pumps the water when it rains, pumps it into
the sub pump myself,
and all that.
And
the only room those were the only rooms that really never used. And the other ones was the laundry room, which was still creepy in my opinion, just because it's so old down there. But go ahead.
Well, the other rooms, for one, there's only one light that we had on. It was the light was already stayed on, that we flipped on, that we went down, which was right in the main. And then it did scatter off left and right to different doorways, with no doors, but doorways. But they were dark. I wasn't planning on turning them on. But we went straight. Here's the creepiest thing, is that there's a little rocking chair. The rocking chair, I mean, it was like a kid-sized rocking chair. It wasn't a big one, but it was facing toward the wall. And I still get kind of like chills.
See, I don't remember that. My story's a little different. I mean, I know there was a rocking chair down there, but go ahead. I'll tell you what I remember about it.
I remember that part there just because it's creepy, because I just kept my eye on it the whole time, just because I don't like rocking chairs. I just don't like them. Maybe because I watched scary movies growing up. I just don't like them. But the rocking chair, what I remember, the rocking chair was just facing toward the wall. Like, I mean, it was not in the way. Right. But, you know, it was right there, but it was just faced toward the wall for whatever reason. I mean, of course, I'm sure it just got moved. But, you know, being in that creepy setting, nighttime, basement, looking the other way. But the whole time was just, and then we ended up getting spooked. And, you know what I mean? Ended up getting back up in there. But it was mostly, my biggest thing is the feeling was probably the biggest thing.
Cold feeling.
It was real. I mean, I know it's a basement, and everybody's like, oh, it's a basement. I know now, the elevation, but it was different.
This goes with the cold feeling in your rocking chair thing, but I don't know if you remember this, but we took the camera, and we recorded a video, because it had video on the camera, and I think it was, like, one of the good cameras, actually, that had video at that time. Of course, remember, people, this was 2008, so it's not going to be the greatest quality. But you can still see what was on the camera. So the camera also, when you like played it back, you could do slow motion. And we all watched the video of us down there, like recording what's down there and all this. And if you slow it down, when we panned over...
Dude, I got, like, chills. I remember...
When
I remember.
You panned over, when you went from the laundry room over to the other room, it looked like a face was in the trash bag that was down there with all the detergent cans that I had lined up for trash night. And there was a face in the trash bag, like, on top of it, like a straight-up ghost face or whatever.
That
there was a face on there.
Absolutely scary.
And then... If that doesn't make it work, we had a people. I'll tell you about. We had a like a door, like a attic door, I guess you would say. Of course, it's not an attic; it's a basement. But it was a little door that was like an attic door, that was inside the wall. And the door we opened was like, "I'll give you $100 if you open the door. I'll give you $100. I'll bet you won't open the door." So one of us opened it. I don't remember who it was exactly.
I think it might have been B-Rob.
B-Rob might have opened it, yeah. So we opened the door, and all we see is just, like, a little tunnel. Like, tunnels.
Yes. Yes, and I then remember that.
And then you look over, and we're recording the whole thing. And there's, like, I think there's some kind of object. I don't remember what it was exactly. But it was just sitting in there. Like, someone lived, like, either went in there or left something in there.
It was a utensil of some sort.
Yeah, and what I was telling you about when I said I got something else to tell you about what I just figured out not too long ago.
Yes,
I guess my gosh. I guess you would call him father, which people, I don't talk to my dad.
Yeah, that's a whole nother.
That's a whole nother episode. But he went in there, I guess, one day. And it went in there to go check it out because something was messed up. I don't remember exactly.
Oh my God,
but
yes.
He went in there, and you figure, oh, it's just a crawl space, pretty much, is what you would describe it as. But I guess he went in, and he said that there was a spot in that area, in that room, where it dropped down, where he almost, like, fell down. It dropped down into, like, a pit. Like just a pit. Like, I don't even know what it was, but, like, he could have fell in and hurt himself.
So creepy.
And I don't know what it was used for, but a pit was in that room. So just, you're like, what in the world?
A summoning pit.
Yeah, like a summon for demons or something.
Mm.
So, yeah, my house was... Oh, also, my house, I think, was haunted, to be honest, even though I don't believe really in ghosts, like I said. But I used to... I moved upstairs when I was... In my teenage years. Yeah, and I moved upstairs in my teenage years, and I was the only one up there. Like, everybody else had downstairs rooms, and I was the only one upstairs. And the only thing I had was, I think at the time, was your guys' old cat at the time.
Oh, fat cat?
Yeah, and I was working at Coke at the time, and I was, you know, I could have been sleep deprived, I don't know. But the thing is I heard it every night, and it sounded like, because the door would creak open every day, like every night at certain points of the night, and I'd be creeped out.
Dude.
And I'd be like, what in the world was that? And I'm like, okay, I'll just go to bed because, you know, I'm tired and I don't really care. But then the worst part of it all was running footsteps upstairs. Swear on my life. And I'm not going to make this up because I stayed up there and I thought I was hallucinating, okay? And then I would hear it every night. I thought it was like maybe a squirrel or a raccoon. Now, there was a raccoon that broke into the window, but it got back out, okay? But it literally was like human footprints. So I had to get up every night when I heard it to see what was going on. Like, I even went on a scavenger hunt one night to see what the heck what it was.
Oh, my gosh.
But the worst part is I don't live there now, of course. But the people that live there in that house now, my mom and sister went to go visit and said they want to see how it looks because they changed everything.
Yeah.
And they said the boys, they stay upstairs, and they say they hear footsteps and creepy noises all the time upstairs.
That's so cool. That is, oh.
Like, they heard the same running footsteps like I did when I lived up there. They said they still hear it upstairs.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know is the reason why I'm so intrigued by this, just because for what? A good portion of my life.
You lived there pretty much.
Not a good portion, but Yeah, I mean, for a while. I mean, I stayed there a lot. Or,
and I'd,
you know,
stay at your house. It was just boys being boys. We'd stay at each other's houses back in the day.
Yeah, I'm just glad you didn't share none of that stuff whenever I was there. I would have.
I didn't stay up there. I stayed in the living room.
Oh, that's right. The couch and the pull-out couch.
Yeah, pull-out couch. Yeah, we remember that one.
Shoot, man. That's...
It's just creepy, dude.
We gotta wrap this up to be on a time limit. But we're gonna conclude here, but we will be on next weekend. It'll be released every Monday as usual. But you know, mostly just hitting it off, telling some stories like this and, you know, shooting the breeze.
I'll try to be on next weekend. I just work a lot lately, so this is the only weekend I've had off in a while, so.
Yeah, and this is the first podcast that we've had with full time. And ad-free. But with that said, we're going to conclude here. Do remember, though, that this is and always will be a ad-free podcast. But if you ever feel so inclined, which is never a requirement, but go on the patreon.com and, of course, Loot News. Become a Patreon that way there. Support the podcast. And also, do remember to follow the handles, the socials. Everything's, you know, Instagram, Twitter. It's all in Loot News. You know, if you like what you're hearing, hit it up. Say what's up.
If you guys want to talk about anything pretty much, like gaming, sports, pretty much sports and gaming. That's what I'm really into. But you can follow me at The Bearded Guy 75 on Twitter, and my Xbox is Tank to Man 75. So if you ever if you have a story you want to tell me, and I could tell Brandon, or you want to get on the podcast, let me know or let Brandon know, and he'll get with you guys. But
Absolutely.
It's been fun. It's been real. But I got to get ready to get off here, folks. Got a good day coming tomorrow, so
Absolutely.
I will catch everybody later on in Loot News Podcast. Brandon, you have a good night. I will talk to you later, sir.
All righty, buddy. You too. And like I said, you guys hit up there and also go to lootnews.com. And that you can sign up for weekly updates as well as submit anything you want. A topic that you want me and Tank to talk about. A topic you want, you know, give our opinion about. You like it, you don't like it, whatever. Send it our way. But other than that, though, you guys be safe. Have a good rest of your evening, morning, or day. And just, you know, remember to, if you're leaving that house, always return back the way you left it in one piece. Y'all take it easy.